Thank you for listening to the Alliance Church Podcast. We desire to connect you with God and one another, whether here in Wisconsin or around the world. Let's listen into this week's message.
Well, good morning, Alliance Church. My name is Brandon. I'm the pastor of our location out in Hortonville, and I just got to say I'm so happy to be here this morning. Every time I'm here, you bless me so much, and so I hope that I can be a blessing to you this morning as well. I want to start by welcoming anyone who's new. If there's anyone in here who is here for the first time, or you're checking us out online for the first time, I just want to say welcome, a sincere welcome. Glad you're here. I know that there's not too many things more nerve-wracking than checking out a church for the first time, right? You're going, I don't know, am I dressed right? Am I overdressed? Am I underdressed? How am I going to know? Everyone else knows when to stand up or sit down, and they all know the words of this song. I don't know. And are they a cult? That's kind of scary. What if they're a cult? And we're not a cult. Afterwards, though, we do need you to swing by the welcome desk and let us know what kind of Kool-Aid you like. We're not a cult. And you're like, that's exactly what a cult would say. We're not. For those of you who are joining us online, welcome. I pray that this morning will be such a blessing to you. And I also want to say good morning to my dear church family out in Hortonville joining us. Hey, God bless you guys. The last few times we've done this, we've had some technical problems. The broadcast has frozen like right in the middle of the sermon. But here's the deal. Aaron has been working hard. He's found the problem. We've made the adjustments. And I promise you, there is no chance that this sermon is going to... Yeah, I'm just playing. God bless you guys. I miss you. I'll see you next Sunday. All right, so here's the deal. My question is, what's the point of asking for something you can go out and get on your own? What's the point of asking God for something that you can go out and, like, if I can go out and I can get something on my own, what is the point of asking God for it? We're in the middle of this series on prayer. And we're deep diving into what's called the Lord's Prayer when Jesus taught his disciples and those who were gathered around how to pray. And Jesus, in this prayer, instructs us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And so this morning, I got my Swiss Army pocket knife here. This is, I can fix just about anything with this. There's everything, you know, if I need to screw something in or open a can of tuna fish, I need to cut something, I got that. There's a corkscrew on here. I never knew why that was necessary until I lived in France for a while. Then it started to make sense. But I can fix just about anything with it. If the Lord's Prayer were a little, a compact little pocket knife, a Swiss Army knife, what I want to do today is just pull out this one tool. And examine it really, really closely. Give us this day our daily bread. Why on earth would Jesus teach us to pray this? Something I miss about when I lived in France is the bread. If you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. My family and I served in France with the Alliance for a number of years. And I tell you, bread in France, it's something different. It's made in the morning to be eaten in the evening. And it's kind of hard to understand here because here in the U.S. we have places like Costco and Walmart and Sam's Club where everything is sold in like a 96-pack, right? But in France, you buy bread day of to eat that day. It was made that day and you eat it that day. It's hard for us to understand. Right, because we buy stuff by the 96 pack. We don't buy enough just for today. We buy enough for tomorrow, for 6 months. We just in case there's a zombie apocalypse. Like we cover our bases in the U.S. We're prepared. But in France, if you tried to buy a 96 pack of baguettes from a boulangerie there, they would look at you like you're crazy, right? Because the bread is made that day to be eaten. That day, and I would love it. It's part of your rhythm. You're walking home from work or something, and you go into the boulangerie, and the transaction goes something like this. Good morning, ma'am. Take one baguette, please. And she would say, absolutely, you're welcome. Have a great day. And the deal is that there is no part of this transaction that requires you get down on your knees, pray, God, would you provide me a baguette? Like, all it takes is a euro. That's it. You want 1 euro, you walk in with a buck. If you've got a buck, you get bread. You don't have to pray. You hand them the buck, and it doesn't even matter how you feel about God, right? There's atheists, Christians, Muslims, Buddhists. Doesn't matter what you believe. You got the money. You go in there. You get bread. So what's the point of asking God to give us bread when millions of people every single day get bread, whether they've asked God for it or not? Martin Luther addresses this question in his small catechism. He says, what does this mean? Truly, God gives daily bread to all, even evil people, even without our prayer. But we pray in this request that he will help us realize this and receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. You see, there's something about asking God to provide for you that opens your eyes to God's provision. Now, there is a chance, of course, that if you don't ask God, you may miss out on his provision. James says, you have not because you ask not. But what is more likely is that you ask God to provide, that if you don't ask God to provide, you'll fail to see that he provides. Does that make sense? Like, if we don't ask God to provide, we will rarely connect the dots that he provided and when he provides and how he provides. And if we miss all that, we're also going to miss why he provides. Isn't that right? We'll be clueless about how much we need him, how much we rely on him. Gratitude will just be in the basement. You know, and honestly, the more affluent the culture we live in, the more likely we are to miss this one. But Jesus doesn't want us to miss out. So he instructs us lovingly, when you pray, I want you to ask God to provide your basic needs. So what I want to do this morning is I want to read this entire prayer as it's found in the gospel according to Matthew. And then I want us all to pray together. Right here in Hortonville, online, all of us, we're going to pray together. And I sincerely ask you, ask God to help us get this. And my goal, as we look at it more closely, we pull out that one little mechanism on the Swiss Army knife. As we look at it closely and play with it and examine it, my goal is that we would all be awakened to our need for God, that we would start asking God to supply our daily needs, and that we would see him provide. And then what will happen is, as we see him provide and we ask and he provides, our faith will increase. How much we trust him will increase. Our relationship with God will get better. So here it is. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. And I'm just going to post our key verse up there so we can really get that one lodged in our minds. But Jesus says, pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever. So would you pray with me now, church? So Lord, we see you instructing us to ask you for bread. And I know that in this country, that seems irrelevant. Most of us don't think that we would need to pray to end up with a loaf of bread. But God, I believe with all my heart that if you taught us to pray this, it's a reason. There's a reason. It's not on accident. And so, God, I pray that you'd help us get this. Because I believe the truth is we depend on you more than we realize. And so, God, would you wake us up to that? Would you wake us all up to our need for you? Would you make us people who look to you for everything? And God, would you provide for your children as you say you will in your word? For your glory, Lord, and for the sake of a world who needs you. Amen. Okay, so a couple things before we deep dive in on this verse. First of all, remember that Jesus is saying, pray like this. He's teaching on prayer. Does that make sense? He's not saying pray these exact words, though we can. It's a good thing to pray these exact words. But he's saying pray like this. This is a good compact framework of what to go. This is how to pray with substance. So that's the first thing. Jesus is teaching us how to pray. Second thing, never skip the first half of this prayer. Let's never skip, like we always say your before we say us. Does that make sense? Like the first half of this prayer is designed to lift our minds and our affections up from being self-absorbed in our own little kingdom, in our own little world, and to take our minds and our affections and recenter them upon God, who is our Father, who is in heaven. Right? What do you call someone who thinks the world revolves around them? It's a narcissist. And they're unable to have healthy relationships, aren't they? Why? Because it's all about them. It's all about what they care about. And it's all about their needs and what they want. And prayer is about having a good relationship with God. So we got to start with the first half of the prayer, right? A good relationship with God is not me-centered. It's God-centered. It's Father-directed, right? And that's where healthy communication with God starts. So Jesus instructs us. He says, when you begin, I want you to pray in a way that reminds you and aligns you with who God is and what he's all about. So we pray, Our Father. Remember, God is, he knows us. He loves us. He knows what we need more than we could ever even know ourselves. He knows our pain. He knows our joy. He knows our desire. Right? Our Father, this means God is so near. But he is our Father who is in heaven. And that means he is the God who is above all, Lord of all, the God Almighty, the all-powerful creator of the universe, Lord over all. He transcends all that exists. He's also the God who, if he were to speak and so desire, the mountains would crumble and the seas could dry up. He could, with a word, roll this earth up like a scroll. That's who we're talking to. Our Father, he's near. Who is in heaven above all. And then we say, your name be hallowed. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Think about this, that in heaven, no one wonders how holy God is. It's not there's no doubt about the holiness of God in heaven. There's no doubt about who's on the throne, whose kingdom it is, right? There's no doubt who's running the show in heaven. In heaven, there's no doubt about what the plan is, right? It's his will that's being done at all times without exception. And so we're supposed to pray, God, Father, and we want your name to be made glorious here. We want your rule and reign, your kingdom to come, your will be done. God, we want your plan executed on earth, just like it is in heaven, in Appleton, in Hortonville, in Nina, in our hearts, the same way it is in heaven. God, that's what we want. See, the first half anchors our hearts in a big vision of God. And it brings our hearts into alignment with his values. And so we kind of move from, give me what I want, to, no, you're God, not me. Your way is always best. So God, would you give us what you know we need. Give us this day our daily bread. And then we arrive at the us side of the prayer. And now I want to draw your attention to three details in this one line, this fourth petition. Give us this day our daily bread. Three details in there that are really easy to miss. We got to work overtime to not let this become something that passes out of our mouth without ever touching our heart. Okay, so three details about this that are really easy to miss, but so important for us to get. The first one is that this is a needs-based prayer. Does that make sense? It's a prayer that is from a place of need for our basic needs. It's a needs-based prayer. It's not a merit-based prayer. And it's not a desires-based prayer, right? It's not a merit-based prayer. It's a needs-based prayer. Now, I don't know if you've been following along in the prayer booklet that our church put together, which is just, I've been reading it, and it's phenomenal. It's good stuff. I encourage you to stick with it. But right at the beginning of this week, there's a quote by A.W. Tozer. It goes like this: God answers our prayers not because we are good, but because he is good. Does that make sense? So this is not a merit-based prayer. It's not like, God, hey, I've been good. I went to church. You know, I said the good things. I didn't say any of the bad things. I did the good things. I didn't do any of the bad things. All right, God, so you got anything good for me? You got anything good up there for me? No, it's not a merit-based prayer. It's from a place of need. We need God, not the other way around. And it's not just from a place of need, it's for our basic needs, right? Notice that Jesus doesn't say, give us this day our daily cake. He doesn't say, give us this day our daily steak, which Pastor Brian would eat with ketchup. He doesn't say, give us this day our daily infusion of cash. just bread. Right, that timeless staple, one of the oldest forms of human-made food there is, the most significant staple in pretty much every society since the dawn of time, right? Invented in the Middle East, perfected in France. Oui, j'ai dit que le pain français, c'est le meilleur pain du monde. Listen, bread, it's just simple. It's just what we need. It's just what we need to survive, right? This literally, our daily bread here could be translated our needful bread, or the bread of our subsistence. And give us this day our daily bread is just prayer that God would supply just what we need. And so this prayer acknowledges two truths. One, God's knowledge of our need, right? The Father, he knows what the kids need more than the kids. He knows what the kids need more than the kids know what they need. And the second is, it acknowledges our dependence on him. See, the kids need the Father, don't they? The kids need the parent. Now, with these two truths in mind, understanding that God knows what we need far more than we do, and we need him far more than we know, Jesus teaches us, pray, give us this day our daily bread. So Jesus says, when you ask the Father for bread, you're just asking him to provide your needs. This is a needs-based prayer. The second thing I want you to see is that this is a one-day-at-a-time prayer. It's a one-day-at-a-time prayer. Right? He says, give us this day. It means this coming day. Our daily bread, not our monthly bread. He doesn't say, give us this year our annual bread. He doesn't say, okay, pray, God, we need your five-year plan bread. We need to know what's out in front of us. We need to know that you're going to take care of us in the future, and we need to know how you're going to do it. In fact, we need to be able to look in the bank account and see that the money's there, or else we're not going to trust you. No, he says, give us this day. It's like you're praying in the morning that God would provide dinner. Or that you're praying in the evening that God would provide breakfast. God, right? It reminds us of the time. Remember, you ever read in Exodus, really around chapter 16, the time when God's people were living in, somewhere in between Egypt and the promised land? Do you remember this when you've read Exodus? That it was sometime in this, in between, God had just kind of executed this jailbreak and they got out of slavery under Egypt, and he's pointed them to a promised land, a place where they can finally call home. A place where they'll have peace, a place where they'll thrive. But they're not there yet. There's this wilderness period. Somewhere between the jailbreak and the promised land, there's this wilderness period where they're wandering. It's like they're free, but they're not all the way free yet. And every day, God provides them manna, bread from heaven. And they could only collect one day's worth. That's it. You can just get what you need for that day, right? You can't store up a week's worth of it. You can't heap a bunch of it up in a storehouse and then somehow monetize it and make it into a product and sell it and get a profit off of it. No. Just what you and your family need to stay alive for one day. And then Jesus comes along and he says, listen, don't be anxious about tomorrow. And what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear and so on. Don't be anxious. You don't need to spend time worrying about that. Why? He says, look at the birds. He says, they don't plant fields. They don't have harvests. They don't build big barns and store up grain, and God feeds them. And then he says this is really important. He says, of how much more value are you than they? You hear that? He says, God takes care of the birds. How much more value are you? Dignity infused, image of God bearing child. How much more value are you? Blood of Christ, purchased, redeemed, child of God. How much more valuable are you to the Father than some birds? Jesus says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow will be anxious about itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And so this is a needs-based prayer, and it's a one-day-at-a-time prayer. We're just looking to God to provide what we need today. God, just get me through today. I'll worry about tomorrow when it gets here. But for today, I'm trusting you. You're going to get me through this. Now, the final thing I want you to see here is that this is a communal prayer. Now, I'm not 100% sure if Jesus paid attention in preschool or not. But I gather that somewhere along the way, he learned the words me and my. he knew those words, right? He could have taught us to pray, give me this day my daily bread. But he didn't, did he? And this is important. Don't miss this. He says, give us this day our daily bread. Question, in the New Testament, how does God usually take care of his people? Think about that. In the New Testament, how does God usually take care of his people? If you've read the New Testament, you'll start to see a pattern that God's go-to method for taking care of God's people is God's people. When God wants to take care of his people, you know how he usually does it? Through his people. We see this in the book of Acts, right? Peter preaches, the Holy Spirit just floods the place. Peter preaches his sermon on Pentecost, and the little church of about 120 blows up to this church of over 3,000. And what happens there is that the church is essentially born. The church is still like an infant. It's still got that new church smell to it. And here's how Peter describes it. One of the things Luke writes in Acts about the church is all who believed were together and all had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad, and get this, generous hearts. they just took care of each other. That's what the early church did. They took care of each other. That's what God's people are supposed to do. When God wants to take care of his people, he usually does it through his people. Think about this. What's the greatest commandment? Right? What's the thing, that one thing that Jesus said, if you get this, all the rest of the stuff is going to kind of come along for the ride. Remember Mark chapter 12, verses 30 and 31? This is a DL top 12, I believe. We got to have this one memorized. What did Jesus say? That you love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Right, that's the first part. This is the most important thing, is that you love God with everything you got. And the second is like it. What does he say? That you love your neighbor as yourself. You're just going to love and take care of the person next to you, the people around you, as much as you. If you ate today, right? I'm assuming. You make sure they ate too. you get a sandwich when you're hungry. Make sure they got a sandwich. We're just going to take care of each other. And I want you to notice that the your of the Lord's Prayer seems to be a prayer that would help us live out the first part of the Great Commandment. Do you process that? The first part, we got to love God with everything we got. And so we start off by saying, God, you're our Father, you're in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, God. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then the second part of this prayer seems to be, do you notice this? To help us live out or obey the second part of the Great Commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. What's required there? Well, we're going to have to forgive each other when we sin. God, forgive us. Help us forgive other people. We need to avoid sin and hurting other people and dishonoring God. So God, would you lead us not into temptation? Would you deliver us from evil? And by the way, would you give us today our daily bread? And the second part of the prayer, I think, at least seems like it's designed to help us live out the second part of the Great Commandment. All right, so this is this little prayer, give us this day our daily bread. It's a needs-based prayer. It's a what was my catchy little thing there that I already forgot? All right, it's a one day at a time prayer, and it's a communal prayer. I pray, by the way, that this sermon is very forgettable. But the realization of our need for God would be unforgettable. It's a one day at a time prayer. This is a communal prayer. This is not about me, me, me. This is us. And so what's this got to do with those of us living in the 21st century here in America? Now, I know, in a room this size with this many people here, and as many people watching online, people gathered in Hortonville as well, I know that there's got to be some that are wondering where the next meal's coming from. For sure. It's a small minority. It's more likely still that there's people that are wondering where their next rent check is coming from. How they're going to pay the rent? How they're going to pay the bills? We feel that. But I tell you, in general, this is harder for me to preach here in the U.S. than it was when I lived in Africa. This is harder to preach here. Why? Oh, the people that I worked with over there, dirt floor poor. Yet they seem to have more faith stored up in the nail of their pinky than I do in like my whole entire body. Why is that? the believers there. See, much like the crowd Jesus was teaching at the time, they're an agrarian society. They're subsistence farmers. They live hand to mouth. And it's not uncommon to wake up uncertain if you'll be able to eat. So it's a very real thing to pray, God, please, today, would you give us our bread just for today? And you know what? I tell you, the believers there have story after story after story of God providing for them. They're in a place where they are acutely aware of their dependence on God. And that is something that we can't seem to see because of maybe we're blinded by our own affluence. We have a hard time praying, give us this day our daily prayer. Bread. We have a hard time praying that with heart and like really meaning it. Why? Because a lot of us, most of us, don't really feel like we need anything when it comes to the basics. When's the last time you turned on the water faucet and said, thank you, God, I have clean water to drink today? We have a hard time praying this, but the thing is, guys, we need God more than we could ever imagine. I mean, we need, and he knows what we need far more than we could ever imagine. And when you start to ask God to provide your needs, and I mean it, what happens is that you start to see the ways in which he does exactly that. Does that make sense? Like when you start asking God to provide for your needs, you start seeing God come through. I'd like to invite the musicians, wherever they're at, to come back up. I want us to respond to Matthew 6:11 by singing. But I'll end with this example. I used to work in Burkina Faso, West Africa, with a guy named John Arnold. He's a great, great man of God, faithful servant of the Lord. And something he would do, every time we'd leave the capital city and travel out into the bush, maybe to drill wells or build structures and do evangelism and so on, he would always bring us all around and say, let's pray and ask God to get us down there. Let's pray and ask God to get us there. And you felt that because the driving conditions were treacherous. People drove, just in an insane way. There were potholes that were so big they could swallow an entire Land Cruiser. You had to pray, God, would you get us down there? And then when we would get down there, he'd always do something. He'd say, hey, gather around. We asked God to get us down here safely. And you know something he did? He answered that prayer. So let's thank him for answering that prayer. And you know what would happen? After we'd pray and say, God, thank you so much for getting us down here safely, what would always happen is that people would start to go, golly, you know what? He did get us down here. Did you see how close that bus was to hitting us? Did you see how close that semi-truck was to running us off the road? Or did you even notice that when we hit the pothole and the axle tore off the trailer, we had just the right tool to fix it? I wasn't even going to bring that tool, but I just threw it in at the last minute for no reason. And God really provided for us. See, when we ask God to provide for us, we start to see God provide for us. And as we see God provide for us, you know what happens to our faith? It increases. Right? When our eyes begin to open to the way he provides, we realize, man, we can't take nearly as much credit as we thought. He's more responsible for our needs being met than we could ever know. And you could say, yeah, but it was my idea. And God would say, well, I gave you the brain. And he'd say, but I worked really hard and I sweat. And God would say, well, I gave you the muscles. You get what I'm saying? We are more dependent on God than we could ever imagine. We need God far more than we understand, and he understands our needs far more than we know. So my challenge is simple, but real. My challenge to you, church, is would you dare to start asking God each day
to provide what you need for that day. And like meaning it, not a mindless prayer. Would you start asking God to provide? God, give me, give us, give all of us what we need to get through today. Would you provide what you know we need? Would you stand now here, if you're able, out in Hortonville, online? Would you stand? Let's pray this prayer together, and then let's sing together. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.